Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Get a chair, grab a seat, or we'll sweep you off your feet. We move, we groove, you got mel. Ease your legs, rest a while, all you gotta do is smile. We're swell, can't you tell, you got mel. When the show begins, you better hold on real tight, or before you know it, you'll be high as a kite. Take a break, settle down, we're the only show in town. SRO, don't you know, you got mel. Give it up, don't think twice, we're a hurricane on ice. What the hell, give a yell, ring your bell, show and tell. Mademoiselle, give a smell, you got Mel.
You've got Mel. And Mel has Annette Whipple. Annette, so, you children's book writers, you're such a very nice crowd of people.
You know, the ones I meet sure are.
Yeah.
You, others, yeah.
So tell us about you, about your childhood in rural Pennsylvania.
Sure. So I grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania, very, very small town, no traffic light, no stop sign along the main road. And it was a road, not a street. but you know, it really made me who I am today. I live 4 hours south now. I'm still in Pennsylvania. And still fairly rural. Some people think that we're very rural here, but really, you know, I might have a few farms, you know, within a couple miles of me, 5 farms within 2 miles. But
Amish farms.
That's right. Yes. Live in Amish country. But it's still, you know, we're close to neighbors. You know, I live in a development, you know, so it's, you know, I've got neighbors all over it. And we still drive a ways to get to most shopping. I have a grocery store in town. My town has a library. It's a small library, but my town has a library. So it's not that small of a town. So, but yeah, I'm here. I love it. And here we are. So,
I mean, do you ever go to big cities?
Yes.
So you've been to Philly and New York and London.
No, not London. But I live more than an hour from Philadelphia, and I don't go there for just, you know, an everyday thing, but we go on occasion as a family. I was pregnant with my youngest child when the last time I was in New York City. So 9 years ago, I was in New York City. We had actually had planned to go back this summer, but nope, that didn't happen. Lots of things didn't happen, right? So, and not too far from Baltimore, Maryland. And, you know, we go when there's a reason, but not all the time. So
It's actually really good these days to be far away from people.
Hey, you know what? I really appreciate the fact that my kids can go outside and play in the yard. They can ride bikes around the neighborhood. And we don't have to be tight with everyone else in the neighborhood at the same time. Country living right now is a good thing. So, yeah. I'm a country girl. I like to visit the city, but I don't stay too long.
So your childhood, remarkable things about your childhood, because, you know, to turn into a children's book writer it's a kind of a unique thing. So how did it happen?
Well, it,
thing,
it,
what
it,
a stupid word, thing.
It's fine. So for me, unremarkable childhood, really. We didn't even have a lot of books at home. I remember a couple of books that we had, and I know that I didn't visit the public library much, even though that there was one maybe half an hour away or so. But our school had a library, and I definitely took advantage of that once I became a reader. It took me a long time to become a reader, longer than the average child. I needed some extra help. And then by fourth or fifth grade, that was when I was really, that's when I really started reading, I think, and enjoying it.
You were smitten by reading.
Finally, yes.
You came late to reading?
I did. You know, I needed some extra help in kindergarten and first grade because I was just behind. So it is what it is. No learning disability or anything like that to overcome, just late. And okay. That's fine.
But did that create some, like when you could read, did that create mm-hmm. some special love? You say, wow, you know, like I had trouble tying my shoes. So I've always tied my shoes different. But I remember when I learned how to tie my shoes any which way, I was very proud of myself.
I think because it was a slower process, it wasn't there. It didn't feel like there was a big revelation or anything like that. But actually as a student, I did not enjoy writing. I was a reader, but I was not a writer. I did not enjoy assignments from teachers to create stories or to write reports. And that was even through college. I really didn't enjoy that. I do remember in high school, I had to research. I had to give a report, a science report. And I remember it was about headaches. And I think I chose the topic. I'm not sure why I chose the topic, but I did enjoy researching it, but because I had to give a speech as well as the written report, I was terrified, but I remember enjoying the research. But even through college, I did not enjoy writing. And it wasn't until I became a blogger and I began blogging to share my daughter's story with a speech disorder called apraxia. She, you know, for those familiar with babies, you know, they usually start talking around the age of one. Well, my daughter was 27 months old when she first said mama and dada, and that was in speech therapy. So she didn't have sounds, she didn't have words. And when she did finally start talking a little bit and making word approximations, I wanted to share her story with family because we don't live near family. And I also wanted to encourage others who were in similar situations. And so that was how I began blogging.
How old is your daughter now?
And she's 14. And she completely overcame what was a very dark diagnosis. And not everyone does overcome it, but she did. So that's kind of where I began with my writing journey. Although I have to say, a couple of years ago, I was talking to a college friend, and she talked about how I would always send her letters during, you know, summer break, that kind of thing, and expected her to write back. I enjoyed letter writing, and I didn't realize that not everybody did. So maybe, you know, maybe I was a little bit of a writer, but not the writer that I am today. After I blogged for a couple of years, I took some classes because I wanted to write more and I wanted to improve my own skills. I knew that they had already improved since I had begun blogging, but I wanted to do more. So I started taking some classes, and then it's like, what about some writing for some magazines? And then it was in 2014 that I had my first idea for a book.
And did you write for magazines too?
I started off writing for adult magazines a little bit. And then once I had this idea for a book, I really wanted to understand the publishing world as well as I was researching a lot. I understood enough that it was going to take a lot of time. So I kind of backed away from blogging, backed away from some of the magazine writing as well, and just really trying to learn a lot and improve my skills. So, yeah.
Okay.
It's been a long road.
Yes. And we're here to celebrate your first book, but it's not really your first book. So
that's right.
It's a great book. You sent me a sneak preview. I don't know whether I can tell people, but I just did. And it's wonderful. But you've written books before that. How did that go? How come you have a first book and before that you have other books?
That's actually a really good question. Because in 2016, my very first book came out for children, and it was Work for Hire, which means that a publisher came up with the idea for this book and paid me to write their idea for their audience. I love it. It was written for the educational market. I have 5 books with the educational market.
And then how does that happen? You know, people, like thousands and thousands of people dream of this.
Yes.
And Annette Whipple does it. What's the secret?
Well,
that's the secret.
My secret was attending a writing conference where I met an editor who works with an educational publisher. That's how I got my foot in the door. But writers who are interested in writing for kids and can do some research and really put their what they learn into kid-friendly language and make an engaging book, they can write for the educational market too. I actually have a class at Kidlit Creatives where it's an on-demand video course. So if people are interested in learning about the educational market and how to get into it. But if you can't go to a conference, and you know, right now we can't, you can go to online workshops though, for sure. But you can also, for those interested, they can also create a work for hire packet, which includes a resume, a cover letter, and typically 2 writing samples, and send that to educational publishers so that they can get an idea of how your writing style and what you're able to write and what you're interested in writing, because it's a great way to get into the market, into the publishing world. And one of the great things is you don't need a platform to write these books. So, you know, you're not pitching ideas. You're really just pitching yourself and selling yourself and showing off your skills in those writing samples. But yeah, so my first 5 books were for the educational market. And then this year I had 3 books come out.
3 books in 1 year.
3 books in 1 year. Now, this is the story of the Wright brothers, and it is an early biography, very visual. It was a lot of fun to write and research. It was my first full book length biography, lots of fun to write. And this was actually Work for Hire too, but this was not for the educational market. This is, you know, a book that would be in bookstores. And I didn't really explain that before, but for the educational market, those are the books that schools and libraries use to meet the needs of students, whether it's for research or to, you know, match curriculum. So this is really just a book that would interest people who want to know.
This is so great.
More.
You know, you sit in your bedroom, you pull from beneath the covers these books that you've written. It's incredible. You know, I should interview more people from their bedroom. I'm just thinking that now. Yes. Keep going.
Just a little bit of fun. So let's see. There we go. This is the Laura Ingalls Wilder Companion, a chapter by chapter guide. This was actually my first book idea. I had the idea in 2014, and this is what I really worked hard at. I knew it was an idea that was marketable. I knew I was capable of writing it. And I got the idea actually from, I didn't know at the time it was a mentor text, but I was reading a book about Narnia with my kids, The Chronicles of Narnia. Yeah. And it was a companion guide, and my kids loved it. And I loved it. And I'm like, I could write a book like this. And I very quickly figured out I wanted to write a companion guide to the Little House books. And so it took a long time to make it all happen. So there are 75 activities, but there's also lots of information about pioneer living and the real Laura Ingalls Wilder and her family. So lots of fun. One of my favorite features in this book, and you know, 2014 to 2000, you know, to 2020, that's 6 years. I actually learned a lot about writing for kids from the time I had an idea until it was actually published. But one of my favorite things are these fact or fiction sidebars. And I have those throughout the book because, you know, the Little House books are historical fiction. They were based on the life of Laura Ingalls Wilder, her, you know, her childhood. And then there's one book about her husband, but they are fictionalized. And so how much of it was made up? You know, I wanted to know that. And I know readers wanted to know that. And I remember being a child reading and reading one of the titles called The Long Winter. And I thought for sure she was exaggerating that winter. Because, you know, it was blizzard after blizzard after blizzard. Who lives like that? Is what I thought. Well, people in South Dakota, or back then Dakota Territory. So lots of fun. And then this beauty, Ray Craft Books did an incredible job with this book.
This is the one. This is the one that's the first book.
The Laura Ingalls Wilder Companion came out just a little bit. This is my first picture book, though.
Ah, okay, first picture book. I knew it was first something, you know.
Yep, it's my first picture book, and I just love what the publisher did because it's like eye candy throughout the entire book. So there's the opening page, who's there? And then all those, you have the unforgettable call. So you have all the beaks up here, the glowing eyes, and you see all the eyes, the fierce beak and more beaks. And then these sidebars, but we have.
It's incredible. I had a wonderful time looking at the proofs, but now it's even better. Where did they get those amazing photographs from?
Looking at the photo credits, I've actually done that because I was curious too. And I want to say, I don't remember. I shouldn't try to guess. Getty Images was one of the sources for a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shutterstock. So I got to hold an owl during my research and I took a couple photos myself.
I thought that you owned that owl.
It's not my owl.
In your backyard.
Oh, wouldn't
that be incredible? Amish Territory, Pennsylvania. So we're celebrating this book, which is coming out in. You can answer the phone.
No need to.
Okay. Even if it's your publisher?
Oh, it said spam. I actually turned it on for a moment and then I turned it back off.
Okay. Sorry, Mel. My agent on the phone. I'm busy. Come back tomorrow. So this is incredible. So this book is coming out in about 4 months?
Oh, this one came out already.
Ah, it came out already.
It did. It's a new release.
So people can actually buy it.
They sure can.
So
if they buy it, this cover opens up and not only is there that beauty, but it's a whole poster about owl superpowers. And I can't even back up right now enough, but that's one of the bonuses of the hardcover. And it's just gorgeous though. Yeah. I love what they did because owls are, you know.
How can they make any money? They paid you, right? You didn't do it for free.
Right.
They paid all the graphic design. They paid, to buy a picture from Getty cost $500. I hope they got a better deal than I do. Let's hope so.
I don't know. They got some incredible images. I mean, just that eyeball there. But they really found appropriate and beautiful photos.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of my very favorites, that barn owl there.
So, who's going to buy this book?
Hopefully lots of teachers and librarians and then parents who see it in the bookstores, because really, it's the adults who have read it have really appreciated it and enjoyed it, but it's really meant for kids and just to pique their curiosity and make them think, oh, really? And, just to have fun with owls.
So this was your idea. You pitched this project. So you must love owls or you just...
I do.
Owls.
I've had a long fascination with owls. When I was a girl, my grandma collected owl figurines of all sizes. And I didn't really learn a lot about owls as a girl. But when I I was a teacher once upon a time. And after college, my first teaching job was as an environmental educator. And every week I got to take a group of middle school students out into the woods, and we went hiking, and we did some neat things throughout the week, but it was a different group each week. So I actually taught about owls each week, and we dissected owl pellets every single week.
Oh,
and
I thought so you were going to say you dissected owls.
No. Okay. No, I don't want to do that. So that was really when I became fascinated with them. And then, so I had a lot of background knowledge before I started writing this. But I actually started, I think I started writing it about 2015, maybe 2016. And it just wasn't right. I wanted to write a book for older readers, and I wanted to be full of information because there's so much fascinating information about owls. But when I pared it down to be picture book length and to really, and you know, with each of those page spreads asking a question and answering it, when I pared down the information to do that, and then I also added humor in these who knew sidebars, when I did that, that was when it's like, okay, now I've got a book, because even though I'd worked on it for years off and on, it just wasn't ready for any audience. Yeah, it was full of information, but it was still too teachery. And that was the teacher in me. It was still just a little bit too, not quite engaging enough to really sell it to a publisher.
So it is an incredible book. And I hope that when we get this online and on Facebook, please write the details where you can buy it. Please write the details of the website where you help people.
Okay.
I'm going to sign up for sure. I always need help. And you told me you were shy, and you don't sound shy at all.
No. Once upon a time, I was shy.
Oh, okay.
Not so much now. Probably for at least the first 30 years of my life, doing a presentation or even chatting, knowing that people would be looking at me online, would have terrified me. I remember any time I was required to give a speech, I was literally visibly shaking. Something happened in my 30s, and hey, I love to teach even adults now. Well, my heart is really for the kids. Yeah. I was a teacher for about 10 years, a classroom teacher.
How old were your students when you taught?
I have taught as old as ninth grade and as young as first grade. But that first and third grade were probably my favorites when I was teaching, which is about 6 and 7 years old, and then 8 and 9 years old.
And this book, this owl book, it kind of spans those years.
It really does.
It's not Who Knew by Annette Whipple. is, I love that, by the way, very clever, is a book that it's a picture book, but it's not a picture book. It's not like when we think about a picture book for pre-readers, it's a picture book for kids who can read. So it's like, it's somewhere in the middle, isn't it?
Yes. It's an informational book. It's full of great information, but I've learned recently, inspired by a teacher friend of mine, that really calling books like this a picture book might make those older kids say, "Ooh, no, that's for little kids. That's not for me." But my friend Debbie, she uses the term illustrated text for her eighth graders. She uses picture books with her eighth graders because really these days, so many books are written for older kids.
So what would you call this?
It is a picture book. It's not a picture book for preschoolers. It's not a book where you're going to have a three-year-old on your lap necessarily. You might, and especially if they really like those visual images, but it's really more for the school age kid. But yes, I do call it a picture book though, or alternately an illustrated text. But I just love it. But
It's wonderful because it's educational and it's crossover and it's amusing and it's fun. And this is very exciting to meet the author. What I want to know is I have this theory about writers that I can share with you. And I think that we all get stuck at some age, stuck in a good way, that our own, this is my theory, and you can shoot me down in flames, that the reason I write for five-year-olds is because I'm a five-year-old. I'm a bald five-year-old. Deep within me, I had some arrested year when I was five, and I write to that five-year-old within me. Am I alone in this feeling?
I don't know that I do that, but I've heard that a lot of people do. So I don't think you're alone at all. I think, you know, we can really kind of, and finding the story, finding what sparks our interest. But I do feel like because I write informational books, it just pulls at my curiosity. You know, what do I want to learn about? What can I spend a year or years researching and still be excited about this book when it comes out that many years later? So for me, it might not be about the age, but about that personality trait of just asking questions and being curious. So does that make sense?
I try to make sense for most of my career. And now I try and make nonsense. That's the difference. So this is, before I ask you about the Beatles, let me ask you the question that I've been meaning to ask you since I didn't meet you, but I read about you. And that is, why don't you write fiction?
I don't know. I've never tried to do it professionally, like, you know, to have it published. But really, I think facts are fun. And I actually, you know, for school visits and that kind of thing, I really try to celebrate facts. And, you know, some facts are sad. Some make us say, oh no. And some even, you know, kind of rile us up. But really, I think facts are fun. And I want to share this world with children. And I think the real world is pretty amazing. And so I draw from the real world. If I did write fiction, it would probably be very realistic fiction. I don't know. I don't write any fiction professionally.
I don't know how to tell you this, but really, really real fiction is actually nonfiction. But you know what? I'm willing to make a barter because I want to see what would happen to you if you wrote fiction. I mean, you have everything. You know, you have a publication record. You have an agent. You have publishers that came to you. You don't have an agent?
No agent. I sold these without an agent. For this one, I studied a market guide for hours and hours and hours. I just pored over it. And I came up with just a handful of publishers that would be interested in history and activities. And that's, you know, that's a lot of that. And so it's not with a big publisher. It's with Chicago Review Press. But they're a mid-sized publisher. And yeah, then I met
Raycraft is big.
Well, they are an imprint with Benchmark, who is big. But they're actually a new publisher too. Raycraft is.
Yeah.
And with I met my editor from Raycraft at a highlights conference. And if you ever have the opportunity to go, or these days do it online, they're just incredible. They're top-notch conferences with great teachers. You know, their faculty come, you know, their editors, their agents, they are authors, but they are top-notch. And I met the editor there. And he was interested in it right away, which threw me for a little bit of a loop. It was the first time anyone had been interested just like that. So it was very exciting. And this, oh, can I tell you this?
You can tell me anything. It's, you know, your show.
No, this is your show. But the truth...
You've got mail means that you've got mail.
So Who Knew is the first book in the Truth About series. So next next year, next spring, there's going to be Woof, The Truth About Dogs, and then the Truth About Spiders. We don't know the exact title for the spider book yet, but they will also be, you know, highly visual, all sorts of photographs throughout. And then with those sassy little funny sidebars to bring some humor into the story for kids.
Amazing.
So
I have to say that I've written several manuscripts, one about a burrowing owl and one about a spider. So I should send you to these now so you don't come back to me, you know, a year or two. Mel. But I have a feeling that you can be a beacon for other people, younger and older, because you seem to be willing to share a lot of the experience that you've had. And you do realize that you are one of thousands of aspiring writers. You do realize this.
Yep. I feel like I have learned so much from others, from conferences, from workshops, from conversations like this. I've learned so much that I do want to share with others. And I told you I was a teacher, so I kind of naturally want to help others and teach them. So, you know, I do offer those on-demand classes. I do offer critiques and that kind of thing. But sometimes it's just the conversations that get me. I just love to share what I know. And that's kind of how some of my first, when I was invited to teach others, that's how some of those early ones happened, was because I had had the right conversations with the right people and they knew what my personality was, that I do like to share. And I have some knowledge to share. I'm still learning. There's so much learning. This kidlit world is always changing, but if I can help someone, I want to.
We have to talk. So I don't know whether you've seen You've Got Mail, but I usually embarrass people at the end, not what you think, by asking them about the Beatles. Do you like the Beatles?
Sure. How's that for it? I do like, I'm not a passionate Beatles person, but yes, I like the Beatles. Okay. How's that? I'm not a raging fan, but I'm
that's
a fan.
That's fine. But I haven't embarrassed you yet. No. Do you have a favorite song of the Beatles? Can you name a song of the Beatles?
Well, yeah. Let It Be, Hey Jude.
Okay. And now, to show how amazing you are, I'm going to ask you to sing a few bars for our audience.
Okay, Mel. This was not in our agreement, because something that you don't know about me that we just didn't have time to talk about. I can't even clap and sing at the same time. I can't even sing Twinkle Twinkle on tune. Is it in tune or on tune? I don't know.
Okay, but so I'm going to give you a break now, which I've never done. I've never done this on this show, but I'm going to let you off the hook.
You need to. Because it's for everyone's benefit.
No, because I believe, and remember, I used to be a scientist, that everybody can sing. But once in your life, when you were 6 or 8 or 10, somebody told you, and that you're singing off key for some reason. So I'm going to let you off the hook from singing Let It Be if you sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Oh, I can't. That's still too cruel to your listeners, to your viewers. We can't
trust
do
me,
that.
Trust me. Let them be the judge of that.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'll start for you. Twinkle.
Twinkle. Little star.
Give it a try. This is the beginning of a new career.
Mel, I have to refuse you on this. Really. It's that bad. I will say it for you, though.
Okay, say it. But can you say it with feeling?
Probably. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. Up above this world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. There.
This has been incredible. I'm still going to get you to sing, maybe one of these days soon. This was incredible. Annette, I'm so happy that you agreed to be my guest on this crazy interview show.
Me too. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I would like to continue offline. I have a lot to learn from you. At least I can teach you to sing.
You can try. I don't know that that'll work, but yeah, hey, if I can get paid to write books, maybe anything really is possible.
You see, you have a ton to share with the world. And this has been just a little tip of the iceberg of Annette Whipple. And I'm incredibly honored that you were here. And don't forget, when we get this up, to put all kinds of, this is where I offer this, this is where I offer this, in brackets, mail for you, it's free. This is where I offer that. And my new book is here. And I can tell the audience that I've had a look, and it is, woo!
Thank you. And you know what? What I can tell people right now, in case they get to it before I type anything in, pretty much anything related to me, they can find at AnnetteWhipple.com. They can find links there. So that's a good start. AnnetteWhipple.com. So, and here. Let's see. I'll show this one more time. You can look at my name to see how to spell it.
Absolutely.
Isn't that just beautiful?
I have a feeling it'll be somewhere in the video. So thank you.
Thank you, Mel. This has been wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Bye. We'll talk.
Yes. Okay. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.